Okay, our next speaker will be Angela Pryor, speaking on factors affecting retention of adult Mexican-American participants in a longitudinal population-based study. This is a web run, so it's just sort of automatically generated, so I can't skip a presentation. Is she okay? Or okay. I wonder if I can. Here she sprints. That's okay. You can just advance by pushing.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry. Okay. My name is Angela Pryor, and I'm coming from Houston, Texas. This research is looking into factors affecting retention of healthy adult Mexican-American participants in a longitudinal population-based study. Okay, I was also asked to include a disclosure statement, and we don't have anything to disclose. However, I would like to acknowledge the support received by the Association of Schools of Public Health, of who I was a fellow, and this study was conducted while I was a fellow. I was very honored. The University of Texas, MD Anderson Cancer Center, with whom I worked during the study, and my co-authors, Dr. Selwyn and Dr. Bondi, and the University of Texas School of Public Health. Okay, I am going to introduce the Mexican-American cohort. This is an ongoing study. And in order to give you a little bit of background, because the analysis that we conducted was done on this, on part of the data from this cohort. So basically, according to the US Census, over 13% to the latest 2000 US Census, over 13% of the US population self-identify themselves as Hispanic, Latino, or Chicano. According to the same census, approximately 60% of the Hispanic population in the census identify themselves as of Mexican ancestry. However, in Texas, 76% of the Hispanic population is of Mexican-American descent. This population, the Mexican-American population, has been traditionally underrepresented in health research, although the health outcomes are that they experience are not necessarily equal to the other, especially the Anglo population, as the statistics show. Cohort studies have been traditionally known for being highly advantageous of because of the generalizability of the results, although they are very costly and they are traditionally associated with losses to follow up. And investigators that attempt to conduct long-term longitudinal studies in minority populations normally face incredible challenges with attrition and retention that eventually affects the validity of the results. The mano-mano methodology, the mano-mano study is an ongoing resource from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. It was created in 2001 based on tobacco settlement funds. When the tobacco settlement was distributed among the states, the legislature in Austin decided that part of it was going to go into a resource that was going to study basically different aspects like environmental and genetic factors associated with disease etiology and to develop help as a resource to develop future health interventions in the Texas population. This is the theme of the mano a mano study, and the eligibility criteria for this study included being identified as Mexican American or of Mexican American descent, being 18 years of older at the time of the recruitment, being a U.S. resident for 6 months or longer, and reside in one of the selected neighborhoods that basically were selected because 70% of the population were of Mexican American descent according to the census, to the latest census, and giving free consent to participate in the study. The unit of the study is the Mexican American household. It's not an independent, individual study, but the unit of the study is the household. During the first 2 years of the study that was initiated in 2001, up to 4 members of every household were included in the study. Later on, because of funds, of cost, 2 members of every household were allowed to participate in the study. And one of the members had to be an adult, 18 years older, and is the person that reported information. 4 strategies were used or have been used and continue to be used to recruit participants for the mano-a-mano cohort. Random digitaling, door-to-door area blocking, intercepts at different community points, and networking based on referrals from participants. All the recruiters and interviewers are certified phlebotomists because as part of the original interview conducted at home, they as well receive take blood samples from the adult participants. So there is a blood bank along with information that goes along with the first interview. These are 15 of the 20 different neighborhoods that where recruitment has taken place. This map shows the concentration of neighborhoods, the dark dots along the east side corridor. As you may know by Ike, we are located 25 miles. The city is located, Galveston is located 25 miles south of the center of the city of Harris County, Houston. And the scattered dots show the relocation points of the people over the 5-6 years of the study. So everybody was recruited at the point that they were living originally when the where the recruitment took place over time, but eventually people had relocated to different areas. This is as far as I'm going to talk about the general study. Our specific aim was to assess factors affecting retention of adult Mexican American participants. And specifically, we wanted to look at to describe the step-by-step response rates of the follow-up process among 4,000 Mexican American adults that have been recruited up to 2006, to calculate response rate after 8 waves of follow-up, and to try to identify those factors that were associated to attrition among this population. And obviously to summarize the results and try to make some recommendations that could be useful for other researchers. This is a bit of a complicated graph, but I wanted to show basically the 8 different waves of follow-up over a calendar period. On the left, I doubt you can see clearly, the first is the follow-up days, the dates where the follow-up took place. The first arrow, the orange, was done in 2001, and they moved 2002 up to 2006 in April. The arrows represent the calendar period for which that person was in that time they were followed. So basically, for example, in the second arrow was initiated in July of 2002, and a total of 1,000 households or participants recruited from July of 2002 to July of 2001 to July of 2002 were included in that follow-up. On the seventh follow-up, the before last purple arrow, for example, was the follow-up was conducted in September of 2005, and participants that were included in that follow-up were recruited from November of 2003 up to October of 2004. So, as you can see, in the first three follow-ups, everybody up to that point was included. And then we started, 1 minute? Oh, Christ. And then we started to move to partial follow-ups. This graph shows the four steps that we took with all the follow-ups. Envelope was sent initially, 4 weeks later, a first reminder letter, 4 weeks later, a second mailing, and finally, a telephone contact was done with all the remaining participants that had not responded. These are the percentage results for every stage, the summary over the 8 follow-ups. As you can see, 21% of participants responded to the first mailing, only 4% to the reminder letter, 13% to the second mailing, but an outstanding 65% to the telephone contact. So obviously the telephone contact is very effective among this population. These are the specific results for each follow-up. Above of 9,853 contacts, 7,500 were successfully responded to the follow-ups for an overall response rate of 76%. Basically, 63 months of recruitment over the 8 follow-ups produce a 76% response rate, and the target was an 80% response rate for this population, considering that this is a population-based studies, not hospital-based. Very interesting results were that among the 23.5 lost to follow-up, 31% were due to disconnected numbers, 27% to relocation, 1% died, 1.5 refused to continue participation, that is very slow percentage, and 39 lost without a trace. We went on to do a logistic regression analysis in order to identify the sociodemographic factors that were specifically associated to attrition. And so we look into age, race, education, health status, smoking, alcohol, initial contact, and acculturation variables. And our dependent variable was either responding or not responding to at least one of the 8 follow-ups. Basically, we used chi-square stratified analysis and logistic regression, and the social demographic characteristics, as you can see, there were 86% females, 77% of them were married or living like married at the time of the recruitment, 52% own a home. These are the results of the self-report health status. The majority report good or better health. Only 74% never smoke and 70% never drink alcohol. And this is a very low rates of smoking and drinking when compared with white or African American populations. 97% agree to be recontacted in the future. And these at least, they all participate in at least one with about 70% participating in 2 or more follow-ups. Oh, Christ, I'm racing. The final findings, the final model produced these results. Basically, the variables associated with attrition with no returning at least one follow-up of the 2 or more that they could have returned were being a male, not being married or living like married at the time of the follow-up of the recruitment. Being young turned out to be a factor associated with attrition, not owning a home, and a low acculturation score. In summary, as you can see, being male, being young, not married, having a low index acculturation to a low index of acculturation to the English language, and especially not owning a home, were all significantly associated to being lost to follow up in this population-based study. Basically, we wanted to recommend some strategies for future research. Requesting contact and network information turned out to be essential in order to follow up Mexican-American participants in the community. Updating addresses and telephone at every opportunity, establishing community recognition, and employing cross-cultural and sensitive bilingual interviewers, customizing or written communication, and being persistent, basically. This data is has limitations because of its self-report data, but provides methodological information that can apply to other minority populations and specifically Mexican Americans. Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you, Dr. Pryor. If there's any questions for Dr. Pryor, we're running a little bit late, so please hold your questions. You can ask her at the end if you would like to. Our next presenter is Carrie Welch. She'll be speaking on the value of semi-annual postcard contact in a longitudinal cohort study.